What's the name of my podcast?
Life Through the Lens.
Ah, that's it. Life Through the Lens.
Welcome to the Life Through the Lens with Steph podcast.
To another episode, and today is a different one. As I've said in previous episodes, I wanted to start doing interviews, and I am very, very fortunate. I have a very supportive wife who we both decided that we'd do a bit of a run through and do an interview setup. And this has taken me, what do you reckon, about an hour or more to set up with all the different cables and routing and all this bullshit that I just don't have the patience for. It's 40 fucking degrees outside. I'm already over it. So we're sitting at the dining table, which makes the acoustics sound more like a toilet. But this is the best that I can do in this situation. So my first interview, knowing the guest, this may never make it to air. She is a silent character in my vlogs. The lady behind and in a lot of my photography, my rock, my confidant, if that's such a word, Kaz, how are you?
Good.
That's good. So, you don't like talking. You're a bit of a shy character, yet I personally observe you as being quite creative and in some ways confident. Why is that, that you don't like talking?
Because I don't like the sound of my voice.
Why?
Because it's quite deep.
Beautiful women in this world have deep voices. Scarlett Johansson, you know I've got a bit of a thing for her. She's one example. Beautiful, deep voice.
Sure.
When I did some research on podcast interview techniques, it was about asking questions that were open-ended and not with yes and no. I always knew that this interview in particular is going to be a challenging one, but we're going to get real deep with my guest today. So tell me, you and I met 7 years ago, but I never knew the Kaz prior to 7 years ago. So your childhood, what can you tell me about it? What sort of memories? Give me five memories that, you know, you can cherish and enjoy. So where did you grow up?
In the northeastern suburbs of Adelaide.
Of Adelaide, South Australia, for those overseas. Okay, excellent. And what was your childhood like? You know, what did you do as a kid? Were you good at school, that sort of stuff?
I remember, unlike children these days, spending a lot of time outside, and as I do now, playing on bikes, rollerblades, had a pogo stick at one point.
A pogo stick? So you would consider yourself well-balanced?
No, not really, because I think those got banned.
They got banned? I never had one. For those that you don't, well, I've never really said about my childhood, I was sort of, only had a lot of cardboard boxes to play with. my mum would kill me if she knew that, but no, my sister and I joke about it all the time. But pogo stick, so you spend a lot of time outside and you've got the one sibling. Did you have a good relationship with her growing up?
When we were young, we were quite close, but as she got older as a teenager, she sort of didn't want to hang out with me as much, which was a bit sad. But, yeah, I mean, it's better, I think, now that we're both in our 40s and, yeah, we sort of rekindling that bond again that we had maybe when we were young.
Yep, that's nice, and that's what I observe too. So you're a good student at high school, got yourself some good scores with exams and everything else?
Yeah, I mean, high school wasn't the best time of my life though, because I did get bullied.
Yeah.
Especially when I was in year 8, but then from year 9 to 12, it was better going to a private Catholic school.
So obviously your family or your parents gave you, for they supported you moving to a different school in hope that that might improve things? Is that
Yeah, it took my mum a bit of convincing, but then, yeah, she sent both my sister and I to this private Catholic school.
So she moved your sister as well. Was there issues with her at school as well?
She had a little bit of bullying, but not as much as me.
Okay.
But she was only there from year 10 and 11 or something, I think.
Right. 10 and 11, so she left school early, did she?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Did you know what you wanted to be growing up, as they say?
Well, I knew I wanted to do environmental science, but that didn't really work out for me when I did go to uni and study it.
Why was that?
I found it too depressing.
Okay, all
right. And I think we had to do some stuff with animals too, and I don't know, I just got too depressed and I just decided to not do it anymore.
So it was a bit more confronting than what you thought it would be? Or?
Yeah.
If you can hear some humming in the background, that's not me trying to achieve ASMR to my listeners. That's the split system air conditioning. As I said, it's quite hot today, so I just want to apologise for the audio quality. Cool. Okay, so you decided to drop uni, or did you change, or what sort of happened there?
I changed unis to another one to do computer and information science.
Has that always been an interest for you, computer science? Or?
Well, I've been playing computers since I was 6 or 8, so
okay.
I guess computers had always been, you know, a part of my life since I was young.
Do you like computers, or has it just become a part of your life?
I used to play a lot of online games when I was a teenager.
Yep.
But then I got out of that, and I only just use them for work now.
Yeah, okay. All right. So you still don't have that same love for them like you did, I'm assuming?
No, not really.
Okay. Very similar to me. Very similar to me. We both have IT backgrounds, and neither one of us are really big computer people. I might go through a phase where I might play a game or two, but and Kaz and I will play a game together on occasions, but that sort of drops off after probably a couple of weeks. So it gets a bit too serious between you and I with Call of Duty at times, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I know, a bit of a more to do with my ego. I don't like losing. So, but anyway, that's beside the point. We won't get into that today. It's not about me. It's about you today. So, okay, so you got you sort of graduated from uni. You had a couple of jobs here in Adelaide.
Since uni.
Yes, since uni. So you dropped. You went once you finished uni. You graduated. Were you working at all when you were at uni, or you just full time student?
I think I was. I can't really remember though.
You can't remember.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, so now I have it on good authority that back in 2009, so that would have put you mid-20s, you decided to move to Melbourne. What was behind moving to Melbourne, and what made you jump ship from Adelaide and want to go across there? Tell me how that all sort of started.
So I wasn't really having much luck getting a job in Adelaide at the time, and went for a job with the blood service, and I think it was supposed to be in Adelaide, but they moved the role to Melbourne and said, oh, would you like to move to Melbourne instead? So I did.
Had you ever been to Melbourne prior to deciding on that, or?
Yes, just for like some work and I don't know, maybe a holiday.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you got the job with the blood service. So what was next? You had to find a place to live, obviously pack up all your gear here. And I suppose that was that your first time being out of home, or were you out of home at the time here in Adelaide when you decided to?
No, I mean, I was living out of home for 6 months before that with a boyfriend before.
Yep.
And then moved back home, and then, yeah, got this job, and then, yeah, just drove over with my mum at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, ended up looking online for a housemate and lived in the southern suburbs of Melbourne.
Okay.
And pretty much stayed around the southern suburbs of Melbourne whilst I was there.
Yeah, okay. What was it like finding a housemate? Obviously, it's a big thing, meeting a stranger and moving in with them. I mean, it's hard enough when you know the person, but what was that like?
Very daunting because you don't know the person and what they're like and, you know, their habits, you know, like any person that you live with. And these ones, unfortunately, were, you know, a bit of bogans, not really my style. Like,
yep.
It was initially her and her dog.
Okay.
And then her boyfriend came back from America, I think it was, and I just did not like him at all. I thought he was quite arrogant and that just made things awkward, and I think I was only there for 6 months and I left, and after that moved in with a more of a girly girl.
Yep. And was that in the same sort of suburb or...?
No, that was in Bentley East.
Okay, all right. I don't know Melbourne, so you could tell me any suburb and I'd believe
and,
you.
Yeah, I don't know. Each person I've lived with has their own unique quirks, and she was quite girly. Had this cat who she tormented, really. Played the piano.
Yeah, the cat played the piano.
No, she did.
Oh, my bad. Okay. So how long did that last?
I think about a year.
Yep. Okay.
It's sort of like with all my housemates, they didn't really ever work out in the end because, it's hard to live with strangers.
Yeah, it definitely is. I've only done it once in the Northern Territory, in Darwin, what am I saying? And, it was different, but also it was a good, I think it was good for personal growth as well. I don't know if you agree. Living with a stranger, it's sort of, I think it's a bit of confidence to do something like that. But also, I sort of saw it as a positive experience for me, even though it was a daunting one. I don't know if you can relate to that at all.
It does teach you confidence in a way, I guess, with strangers. But, like I said, though, in the end, didn't work out.
Yeah. It does. Everyone's different. We're all not meant to get along with each other. You're not meant to get along with everyone, I think I'm trying to say. But, how did you find living in Melbourne aside from the shared sort of living? It's a bigger city. It's definitely it's a lot more going on than Adelaide. Was that a bit of a culture shock for you? Or?
Yeah, because Melbourne's got a lot more people than Adelaide, obviously, and just, a lot more... immigrants, if you call them.
Yeah.
Like Chinese, Indians. Sometimes you'd feel like you're not even living in Australia in that city.
Yeah.
Probably same now. It was good having, like a lot more, places to go to.
Yeah.
Without having to travel, like, very far. Like, pretty much every suburb has a whole street of shops,
yes.
You know, there.
Yes.
Unlike here, you might... If you're lucky, you get one or two shops, but every suburb has their own, main street, if you call it, of shops.
Yeah.
And then the city is over there is always growing and still is the CBD.
It's quite amazing. Yeah, I can relate. I think it was one time I was over there for work and just looking for somewhere to get orange juice, I think, that night from my hotel, and you type it into Google and it's just like bang, 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 with all these places that you can go and just buy stuff. At a drop of a hat at any time, unlike Adelaide, where after 5 p.m. on a Saturday, 5 p.m. on a Saturday, you can forget it. So apart from the occasional store that you might have to go a bit of a distance, or our dear friends at OTR, which are not sponsoring this podcast, by the way, I just thought I'd say that. All right, so that was your Melbourne phase, and then you decided to come back here to Adelaide. What was the big decision on coming back here to Adelaide?
Mainly because, I had an uncle who was very unwell at the time and I wanted to see him before he passed away.
Yep.
And even though I had friends there, I didn't really feel like I had much support.
No.
Not really the same. They weren't close friends and I just decided to come back.
Yeah. Yeah, totally understandable. And again, I can definitely relate on that. So being someone that's gone to Darwin a few times, which I've mentioned in a previous podcast episode. So you came back here, you still stayed in IT. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And then in 2017, you someone else came into your life, that being I. Obviously, I'm an eccentric person that you've ended up marrying. Very creative, and I think I was doing vlogging when we first met and everything else. What's it like being married to someone so creative and a little eccentric? And how you seem to intertwine into my creative world, but what do you enjoy most about that?
I feel like I've helped influence that a lot because your previous partner did not.
No, she didn't. Yes. Do you enjoy, what does, I guess, photography and videography and all that stuff mean to you, though, personally?
I mean, I'm not really into photography in the sense that you are with cameras and lenses and, you know, different things like that. And probably the same with, like, you know, the actual equipment, but more just the idea around, like, I'm more of an ideas person about how to take maybe certain shots or do certain videography.
Yep. Very true. So I guess your biggest love is nature. Talk to me about your love of nature and where that came from, versus, I guess, your not so big love affair with human nature. And where did that sort of stem from?
Well, I've always been interested in the environment, probably ever since I was a kid, because my mum was always gardening and my grandpa, my mum's dad, was always into nature and birds and always telling me about different birds, you know, in his own backyard or when he went to trips to Queensland. And I guess that sort of sparked my interest in the environment and, yeah, having to want to study that at uni, which was a failure. But, yeah, I mean, it hasn't stopped my passion for nature, though.
Yeah. Absolutely, I can attest to your passion for nature. So if I can't find Karen anywhere at home, she'll be in the garden somewhere. Now, you've done a lot of travelling as well. I can recall off the list that you've told me, we've got Europe, Japan, New Zealand, Fiji, Thailand. What was one of your favourite experiences and which destination really sticks to mind when you think travel?
Probably Japan.
Okay, all right. So talk to us about that. Talk to us about Japan.
So I went there in 2017. Went on a tour at the time because that was before I met you. And, yeah, it was 2 weeks I was there and just travelled around the different cities, you know, from Tokyo to Kyoto to, you know, up in the mountains and, you know, down to Osaka. I think that was the end point.
What made you want to go to Japan? I mean, it's a place that's highly on my radar for photography reasons. Not so much the food. As you know, I don't like sushi or sushi. A lot of my things cooked and not breathing most of the time. But, what was the main attraction to Japan, like to go over there? What sort of tipped you over the edge?
I don't know, like I'd been to Europe back in 2012 and just thought, I don't know, why not go to Japan? Wasn't a particular reason why, I just thought, why not?
Okay. You mentioned tours and you sort of touched on it because you hadn't met me. I've never done a tour and I never will do a tour. I believe that travel is about self-growth. I think it's about learning. I think it's a good way to learn more about yourself, and that's what I've always found with travel. What made you go on a tour? Was it compared to, say, what I would do where I'd go and buy a Lonely Planet guide from Angus and Robinson's, which don't exist anymore, and then just go from there, pick up the book, fly there, and then just follow that guide and myself and my own instinct. What made you go on a tour opposed to that?
Probably because, yeah, I didn't have anyone to go with, or I had friends who'd already been a few times and just thought, you know, I've had friends that say, oh, you should solo travel, but that's not me. And, yeah, so I just wanted to do it in a group, especially in a country where not everyone speaks English.
Okay, fair enough. It's interesting, and this is, as you know, something that fascinates me about you is you just sort of said, oh, I wouldn't do solo travel, yet you packed up everything and went to a city by yourself. And that's one little quirk with you I can't get my head around. How does that sort of work in your mind?
I don't know, really. I think with the job thing, it was more, you know, I couldn't, you know, couldn't get anything here, and I just thought I sort of maybe was a bit forced into a situation, whereas, like, going to Japan is, like, you know, less optional, like, you know, to travel. But, yeah, I guess I'm sort of, sometimes I think I lack confidence, you know. Yeah, I don't think that, yeah, I don't think I could have done it by myself.
Who would be your biggest inspiration in life?
A person I aspire to.
Yeah, well, I guess your biggest inspiration, like, who's inspired you in your life, and I guess who's your hero or biggest influence or inspiration? Yeah.
Probably you.
I didn't pay her to say that, but tell me about that.
Everyone's got parents, but sometimes I felt like I could turn to you more than them.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because my mum, this is where I get it from, who, you know, multitasks all the time, and she's, you know, she's not, yeah, even though, like, she cares, but she's, sometimes I feel like, you know, it's hard to talk to her and have her listen to me completely. So,
yeah.
And my dad, you know, like, you know, sometimes he doesn't have an opinion. So, I mean, at least, you know, you've always given me that full attention, someone I can lean on during tough times.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That really, really is. Well, the way I want to do sort of wrap up interviews is do, you know, a bunch of questions, very simple one-answer questions, and I think to sort of get a bit of a more of a profile on the person that I'm interviewing. Very, very basic. So I'm going to hit you with a whole bunch of questions now. All right, let's go with this. Favorite food?
Sushi.
Oh, wow. Favorite sports team?
I don't really follow a sport.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't. I can attest to that as well. So.
But I'd have to say the Crows, I guess.
There would be no choice. No choice. Favorite music?
Maybe like Angus and Julie Stone.
Mm-hmm. Favourite movie?
We did see Where the Crawdads Sing, and I think that's a nice movie recently we saw. So, yeah.
So what's it called again?
Where the Crawdads Sing.
Where the Crawdads Sing. That is such a good movie, guys. If you have not seen that movie, I highly recommend it. I watched it last year on a day off. I can't remember if it was a sick day or if I was coming back from the Avalon Air Show, but I remember my mum banging on about it, and when I watched it, I thought, wow, I can barely fault this movie, so I highly recommend that. But tell you, good choice, good choice. And I'm glad that you watched it with me. All right, just a bit of a deep one here. You're having a dinner party. You can invite any three people on the face of this planet, dead or alive. Who would you have sitting at that dinner table?
You.
She's a fan. Yeah.
Jasmine.
Yep. Famous people as well. You're going to choose two people that you would have dinner with anyway. So that's a lot about you. That's cool.
Oh, I don't know. Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman. Great. I know who you'd be sitting next to. That's lovely. That's good. And finally, I'm going to ask everyone this because it pisses me off. One of the answers, is it Lego or Lego?
Lego.
Thank you. Right. I want to bring this up with you because I don't think there's anyone else I can bring it up, but we both enjoy reality trash TV, don't we?
Yes.
Why do we watch that stuff?
Because, I don't know, like the way they dramatise it, and I love watching other people's fights as long as they're not violent, I find it entertaining.
Yeah, that's cool, that's cool. That's something that Kaz and I do a lot of. We just watch a lot of reality TV. We watched Jersey Shore back in the day. Married at First Sight, that gets a good hammering in this house, Below Deck, and many more. But no, it's just one of those little quirks that we have, and don't really understand why. Being as a lot of people know, a big film cinema buff, I do believe in quality, and trash TV generally isn't quality, but it's one of those sort of sneaky delights that we enjoy. But just sort of touch on that and probably end on that. Thank you so much, Kaz, for joining me. I know it was a big thing for you to have a microphone shoved in your face, but I hope this wasn't too painstaking for you. How did you feel that this went?
I think it went all right.
Excellent. Well, thank you, my dear. Plenty more interviews coming this way on Life Through the Lens with me, your host, Stat. And I'll catch you next time. Take care. Bye.